Dip your heart in the streams of pain and the sorrow. Be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come.
Hallelujah.
Come Lord Jesus.
Welcome Him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy
Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, God. Praise You, God. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit.
Tell Him You need Him. Tell Him You need Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise You, God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day that we rejoice. It's the day of the Lord. It's the Lord's day. We come to church for a purpose, and we come here to praise You, God. We come here with our hearts empty, but we want to be filled with Your presence. God, we need You every day of our lives. God, we face all kinds of attacks of the enemy. We face all kinds of things in our life from Monday through Saturday, Lord. And I thank You, Lord God, that we have a day where we come together as Christians and we can pray for one another. We encourage one another. We sing songs of Zion. We sing songs about the Holy Spirit. We sing songs about breaking every chain. We sing songs about everything that we need in our lives. And I'm so grateful today, Lord God, that everything is true. These songs are not just words, but God, they bring to our remembrance the Word of God. The Word of God that breaks every chain. The Word of God that brought us to the well of salvation. The Word of God that renews us every day. The Word of God that transforms our thinking and transforms our lives. Thank You, God, today, Lord, that we stand here rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we just didn't come here to serve some religious purpose today. We came here because we have a relationship with You. We came here because of the blood of Jesus Christ that washed us clean. God, we thank You, Lord, that every day we walk, we keep our eyes upon You, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, we don't want to look anywhere else, to the left, to the right, or behind us, or forward. We just look unto Jesus because He's the one who's going to help us. And thank You, Holy Spirit, that You bring to our remembrance everything there is about Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You draw our minds upon the cross. You draw our minds upon the power of the blood. You draw our minds upon the wonderful name of Jesus, the one that raised us from the miry clay. So we thank You, God. Here we are in church today with no other purpose but to praise You, to praise You, praise You, praise You. And we love You, Lord. So God, we thank you for the service thus far, and we're just praying that as we meet with you around your word, Lord, something would happen in our hearts. Something would be softened because of the music, but something would happen because of the word that would bring that final thing that we need here today in you. And so we're very grateful, and we thank you in the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's good to have you in church today and to be with us, and we're glad to have visitors with us, and thank you for coming and being a blessing to us. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, as people started telling me that, Pastor, we won't be here on July 2nd, and I said, oh, okay, we'll miss you. And then somebody else came and said, Pastor, we won't be here on July 2nd. I said, okay, we'll miss you. And somebody else came and said, well, won't be here on July 2nd. I said, okay, we're going to miss you. And somebody else came. And as I look around, I see all these empty spots that we have. But thank you, visitors, for coming and being with us today and being a blessing. We are all, nobody's really a visitor when you come to the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your family, your family, your family, your family. And thank God that we are in the family of God. Amen. I received a letter from our general superintendent, David David Wells. And he said for July, we have a prayer focus that he wanted to share with us. But of course, this is the weekend that we celebrate our wonderful land of Canada that we have to live in, and praise God for the freedom that we have. As we read the news all around us in the world, we are blessed. We are blessed here in Canada. And so anyway, this is what he said, for God's glory to be revealed in our nation. And he said, in celebrating our 150th birthday as a nation, that we would be thankful and appreciative of God's kindness, and that many more of our citizens' hearts will turn to him in the months and the years ahead, that God would continue to bless Canada with provision, protection, and direction for wisdom, understanding, integrity, and strength of our government leaders and judges of all levels, federal, provincial, and municipal, that God will strengthen the faith of Christ followers throughout Canada and grant them boldness to share the gospel in word and deed wherever he has placed them, that evangelical individuals and organizations will find favor as they seek opportunities to be godly influences in cities and communities across Canada. So we can pray for our nation of Canada all this month long. You know, I was thinking the other day, how many know that we've got a lot of rain lately? Yeah. Like, I look out in our backyard, like, we don't plant a lot of vegetables, but we put some zucchini in and some carrots. And those plants in there, they're just drowning. They're saying, give us some sun, please. You know, and they're kind of crying out. And so I would like to see the sun. I for one, would like to see the sun. It'd be nice to have at least one 24-hour period without any rain. That would be a real blessing to us. But, you know, as I was sitting the other day thinking that, you know, every day it rains. And I was thinking of, in the Bible, it talks about the latter rain. You know, where it talks about the reign of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking that, God, one day, I'm believing for revival. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for revival. I said, God, wouldn't it be nice that every day that rain came down, spiritually speaking, and that somebody gets saved every day. Somebody gets saved and comes to the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Every day, just like the rain that seems to come every day. Wouldn't it be good to have a move of God every day that we see something happen where God is just blessing and pouring out his Spirit? Hallelujah. That's what I long for. I trust that you are as well. Amen? Praise God. So welcome to church. Psalm 72 verse 8 says, he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's the claim of the word of God, and that's the promise of our Father. As I said before, as we are preaching in the last days, even though people do not want to bow to Jesus right now, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Even though they reject him right now, even though they refuse Jesus right now, one day they will have no other decision than to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm looking forward to that day when we all get together And thank God when born again people can rejoice at that day of the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, that we won't be in sorrow and sad at the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you ready today? Yeah. What's that? The sun's coming out? Hallelujah. Thank you, Bob. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Praise God. Now I hope it will last. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 34. When Diane went to Psalm 33 this morning, I said, oh, don't go into 34. Don't go into 34. Praise God. We are finished Sunday school for the summer, and so we have nothing for our children per se. And that's okay. They can stay in church and they can listen to me. I'm a pretty good Sunday school teacher. Amen. I know how to treat kids. Amen. I like kids. You know, in spite of that video that we shared with you last week from the Ontario government, I think kids are cool. They are neat, and they say some great things. I used to be a Sunday school superintendent in Ottawa at our church, Community Pentecostal Church. And I can remember, like, being a Sunday school superintendent, some of the things that kids used to say were just amazing. You know, we had a family from Jamaica this one year, and they were coming in for Christmas. Never seen snow before from Jamaica. And so this little Jamaican boy was sitting in our Sunday school open session, and up goes his hand. And I said, okay, I don't know your name because you're visiting with us. What's your name? And he told me his name. And he says, I've got a question. And he said to me, he says, why does snow fall down? And of course, I'm thinking of all the technical reasons of why snow comes into the world. And a little girl says, because it doesn't go up. And I thought, hey, that's cool. And he was quite happy with that, you know. So I was content to move along and be blessed at that. So, you know, kids are cool. I like them. They do all kinds of neat things. Amen. So are you with me? Psalm 34. Psalm 34, I'm going to be preaching on this for the summer, and I believe there's a lot of good things in here. I believe that God has led me to this psalm. We're going to uncover some things that are going to be a blessing to us. So I'm going to take verse by verse over the summer and things that God has shown me, and I want to impart them to you, and hopefully they'll be a blessing to you. But do you mind if I read the whole psalm this morning? Is that okay? Amen. It's a holiday weekend. We've got all day long. Amen. Are you going anywhere? Praise God. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Praise God. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and who loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, praise God, and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Let me say that verse again, okay? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Father, we thank you for your word. What a blessing it is just to stand here and read the word of God. Lord, to consume it It's like a hunger and a passion in our souls to know more about you, our Heavenly Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the help of the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. So we ask you this morning to be with us in these moments together, Lord. Let us rejoice and let us say that it was glad to be in the house of the Lord today. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to speak into our lives from this word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Canada Day weekend. I like your tie, Miles. It's nice. I like your shirt you had on yesterday, too. That was nice. Hallelujah. If you've been here for the last few Wednesdays in our Bible study, and Bible study is off for the summer, we know that many people go on vacation, and I'm not mad when you go on vacation. I will miss you. But we all need some times of refreshing over the summer months, and so go ahead and do that. I will be gone for some time during the summer as well. We all need those times of refreshing, but that's why we break some of the things, because we don't want people to miss some of the things that are happening. And I have really enjoyed the Wednesday night Bible study, the three sessions that we had so far, and we've broken now for the summer. But if you were here over these last few Wednesday evenings in the Bible studies, Pierre was taking us into a great way of studying the Bible. How many believe in studying the Bible? How many know that it's a good thing to study the Bible? We study a lot of things in life, but I think the greatest blessing that you can get is studying the Bible. And it's called inductive Bible study. He'd given us a few pointers on in those 3 weeks and how to look for key words in whatever book or chapter we are studying. And so I took Psalm 34, and I was going to start doing an inductive Bible study on it, and I've kind of come up with certain things. I almost feel like, you know, what I've done so far, I should take to you, Pierre, and have them graded, you know, and see how kind of a grade I get, if I've done okay or not. So I think that if over the summer months we're doing Psalm 34, how many know how many chapters there are in the book of Psalms? How many? 150? Good, you know your Bibles. 150. So if we took one psalm a day and did an inductive Bible study, the way that Pierre has shown us how to break down each chapter and every part, that would be 150 days. So you're looking at about a half a year of studying the Word of God, and especially this book of Psalms. And so I think it'd be good if you could do that. But if you don't want to feel like getting into that, because I think that over the summer months, get the dust off the Bible and open it up and get something going with an inductive Bible study. And I challenge you that as we go through Psalm 34 over the summer months, that you go through it. And if you haven't been here for the last three Wednesday nights, up there in the back table in the foyer is the three lessons that Pierre gave us, and he can teach them to you in the back foyer. He'll show you all those things. He'll take many minutes with you, and he'll be a blessing to you as you kind of look into some of those things. But you can do that over the summer months. I encourage you to do that, okay? Do an inductive Bible study on Psalm 34, and maybe you can even find out some things that I didn't see, okay? That's okay. We're all together in the Word of God. And maybe you'd like to do that Bible study instead of putting those Bibles down. But I was looking at the book of Psalms, and there's some interesting facts about the book of Psalms. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And the title is a Hebrew word, which means sefer, or another word for it is tehillim. It's the book of praises, is what the interpretation is in Hebrew. And also the English term Psalms from the Greek is titled psalmos, which means songs. And the word psalms occurs 7 times in the New Testament. Did you know that Jesus quoted from the book of Psalms? And he quoted from the book of Psalms, and he wanted to make sure that we understood what the Word of God and its importance was for us. The word psalter from the Greek psalterium, which means a harp or other stringed instrument. So when you get to the book of Psalms, it's about singing, it's about praising, it's about playing an instrument, the stringed instruments or whatever, just like David did when King Saul felt an evil spirit coming upon him, he began to play. And so no wonder over 75 Psalms were written by David, who put a lot of this to music. And so I really believe that when you get to the book of Psalms, I believe when you start reading these chapters and these studying these verses, that you're going to find out there's going to be a breaking of chains. That even as David played that harp and evil spirits departed and things that hinder us in our walk, I believe that the more we get the book of Psalms into us, you'll find more freedom in your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So those are just some things that I wanted to give to you. And also, did you know that in the book of Psalms, if you're a dispensationalist, anybody here a dispensationalist that you just kind of like to break down the Bible in little chunks and things that you can study and look at? Well, if you're a dispensationalist, it's got a real aspect to Psalms because it's very relevant for those who are dispensationalists, for it mentions the first and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Way back then in the book of Psalms. It also talks about the future tribulation in the book of Psalms. It also talks about the millennium in the book of Psalms. Isn't that beautiful? You can go through the Psalms and find all about scriptures and other periods of God's plans for man. They're all mentioned there for us. And the Psalms is divided into five books, and you have it there before you today. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. I want to give you, I was looking, I've got this book called The Key Word Commentary, and I went to this, there. Analysis of the book of Psalms, and this is what the key word commentary said. As you look at Psalm 34, David praises God and trusts him from verses 1 to 10. There's exhortations to the reverence of God in verses 11 to 22. The key verse of which they say is, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Now, that's a pretty good key verse. But my key verse, and this has been a key verse for years and years and years and years. In fact, when I first became a Christian, I stumbled upon verse 19, and it became something I grabbed onto, held onto, and latched onto, and just held in my life, because it says this, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Not some of them, delivers them out of them all. And so I held on to that. That's my key verse, but according to them, verse 3 is a key verse. Key word is verse 4, "I sought the Lord." How many know that we need to do that in our lives? We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and that comes from seeking the Lord daily and constantly in our lives. The key event is seeking the Lord. So those are some very good blessings for us from Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a very interesting psalm. And for the reason I feel led by the Lord for the summer to go through this psalm, because I've kind of dug up some things that are really interesting here. And we will prosper from God's word, will we not, when we study it? One commentator advises that we see many emotions through the book of Psalms, many emotions springing up. "I cried to the Lord," the joy of the Lord. And all these things, and "laughter doeth good like a medicine." I like that one. And you go through and you find all kinds of emotions that spring up. And I was reading one commentator, he warns about emotions. You know, I like emotions. You know, and Betty and I get happy at times, and we have the joy. And sometimes I drive Betty up a wall. And she does me too. We do that. How many know in a marriage that's kind of the common thing, is that it happens? That, yeah. Anyway, this commentator talked about the emotions that come through the book of Psalms and the emotions that you and I display in our lives at times when we think about the book of Psalms. And it advises that, in fact, uncontrolled emotions are a powerful influence over our behavior. Uncontrolled emotions are a powerful influence over our behavior. When consumed with misdirected zeal or anger or jealousy or fear or some other strong feeling, we tend to make rash decisions and even act foolishly. Anybody ever done that? And for this reason and others, the scripture frequently stresses the importance of self-control. Because when we act emotionally, we tend to create a lot of messy situations in our life. How many know that emotions make us do things that we regret later on in our life? You know, as revealed by its heading of this Psalm 34, this was the case for David in Psalm 34. At the top of my Bible, I don't know if you have this in your Bible, at the top of my Bible, before you even get to the actual scriptures, it says, "A Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed." See, David was on the run from King Saul. If you remember when David started rising up as a warrior, that he would go out fighting, and King Saul, you know, was in the palace, and sometimes he'd go out, sometimes he wouldn't go out. But anyway, the crowd started chanting the songs that David has killed his 10,000s and Saul his thousands, and so a puny little Saul. And so that kind of got that jealousy going, and through that jealousy, he did a lot of things that perhaps he regretted, but, you know, he constantly went after David. And so when in haste, David ran to an unlikely place. When he ran because of King Saul after him, he ran to a place called Gath, which was the home of, remember a guy by the name of Goliath? Big guy. I don't know how tall he was. I wasn't there. Maybe you were. I don't know. But he was a tall guy, and who David met and killed. But when the servants of King Achish recognized David, David launched into this great act for survival, which is probably thought that it pretended to be this insane person. And so he started scratching at walls and clawing at doors. And it says he let drool come down on his beard and was really acting the part of a crazy guy. You know, I was thinking, anybody ever seen Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, all those road movies that they used to do many, many years ago? I showed one to my kids when they were younger, and they couldn't believe, like, you know, I always talked about how laughter today is just not like it used to be in the days we had laughter. I put on this one video of Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. I think it was The Road to Madagascar or something like that. Anyway, they were out in the desert. They needed food, and they were longing for food and everything else. And they came into the marketplace in Madagascar, and they were just, you know, famished, didn't have water, didn't have food. And so he walked up, Bob Hope walks up and sees this mango or something there, reaches for it, and of course the shop owner, "No, touch that." And he backs off, and he says, "But I'm hungry." And so he walks away, and so Bing Crosby says, "We need money. We need money to go up and buy the food." And so anyway, this guy that they said was touched, he walked up to the where all the food was on display, and he goes up and kind of like, "I want some of this, and I want some of that, and I want some of that." And the guy puts it in a bag and gives it to him. He walks away, not even paying for it. So Bob Hope and Bing Crosby are watching all this. And so Bing Crosby says to Bob Hope, "Act like that. Go up and get some food, and you'll get some food for us." Maybe I'll show this to you one time over the summer so you can see this. It's hilarious. So anyway, Bob Hope goes, "Okay, I'll have some of this, and I'll have some of that, and I'll have some of this." And the guy smacks him on his head. He says, "You're not touched." He says, "The other guy was." Anyway, you'd have to be there to see this. It was really funny. But can you imagine David? Can you picture David doing this? Acting like a crazy person, insane, you know, clawing at the door. And of course, everybody recognizes him as David, as the warrior who's killed the 10,000s and all this. And I just want to, just in case you didn't believe this, I put this up in here in the scriptures because you may not think of what I'm saying is true. But it says, David arose and fled that day before Saul, went to Achish, the king of Gath, and the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another and dance, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David's 10,000s'?" Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, so he changed his behavior before them, feigned madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. And then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So the purposes of David, I guess, were to not be revealed in what he was. And so it worked. And so he was cast out of that place. And so Achish threw him out of the palace. David escaped the cave of Adullam, where eventually 400 of Israel's outcasts from all the armies of King Saul joined him in this cave at the cave of Adullam. And here it is that David wrote Psalm 34. After all of this, and arriving into this cave and going through all these things, he pens and sings, maybe writes down Psalm 34. So David wrote Psalm 34, and he celebrated the Lord's deliverance. And he looked at all these 400 guys that were with him, were joined him. Maybe he didn't know why they came to join him, but these 400 outcasts, kind of like a misfit army, they came and joined up with David. Maybe while in that cave, you know, my mind is just kind of playing around here now. Would you allow me to do that with you? But maybe while in this cave, he saw and heard the comments of these 400 ragtag outcasts and misfits from King Saul's army, these soldiers who joined him, who may not have had faith in God like David had faith in God. We know his faith in God. He was from a young man, believed in God. He wrote and played songs about God. He was a man after God's own heart, says the word of God. He loved God with all of his heart. And so you think of these 400 guys who come in here and they hated King Saul. They didn't want to do this. And so they thought, David's on the run. Hey, we're like vigilantes here. Let's join up with David and become vigilantes. And so they teamed up with him in the cave at Adullam. And so here they were. Maybe they didn't have faith in God. This is what I was thinking. Maybe they didn't have faith in God like David did. And maybe they even spoke negative stuff. Like, you know, when they get in there and say, come on, David, let's go back. We'll show King Saul. How dare he throw you out? How dare he not keep you in the house? How dare he not even invite you to the table? How many know that those are the kinds of words that sometimes spring from our mouth, the vengeance and revenge and emotions that rise up in us that we want to get even and all that kind of stuff. Maybe many of the words of David uses here are used to encourage himself when he hears all this. When he's listening to all these 400 guys talk about maybe bad stuff and the negativity. Did you know that you and I hear a lot of negativity in the news, in the world, and sometimes from even other Christians? I like what the ladies are practicing right now. They're trying to bring good words out of their mouth. And they're trying to say things and encourage one another, because a lot of times we get into that rut of saying bad stuff and negativity. I don't know, but I find that Psalm 34 is a brilliant chapter. And it takes us into many things that you and I really need in our lives. When we read the Word of God, are you needy? Do you come to the Word of God in need? Are you seeking something that, you know, oh, this chapter would be good for somebody else? Or, you know, Betty, read this. Oh, that's for you, you know. You know. You ever get to the Word of God and think about somebody else? That's wrong. When you get to the Word of God, say, God, speak to me. Deal with me. Search me. Examine my heart, which we will be doing as we come to the communion table this morning. Search me. So, you know, as I look at this, I think it's a real powerful chapter. Picture yourself as one of those misfit warriors this morning. Could you do that? One of those 400 misfit ragtag, one of those bunch of guys that joined themselves to David and to David, this cave at Adullam. And this summer, kind of put yourself in this cave, this moment of 400 guys and David standing there. And here's some of the things that David wanted them to hear, that David wanted them to feel in this moment of being outcasts and going through all these things. He wanted them to hear. And I believe that what really is the necessity is that God wants you and I to hear this summer. Do you believe that? I really believe that God wants you and I to hear something this summer. So today on this July 2nd, let's take one verse and one verse alone. Could I do that with you today? I just want to take one verse and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. Can you picture David in this cave on the run with these 400 misfit ragtag soldiers, the outcasts that they are? Can you picture him and standing up in this cave and looking at all these 400 men and listening to all the negativity and listening to all the bad stuff and the discouraging words and everything else? And he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can you feel that? Can you sense that? I mean, I believe that this is what God wants you and I to do at every moment of our lives, whatever you and I face in this life. And brother and sister in Christ, we face a lot of stuff. And we need to take scriptures like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We need to take a verse like that and hang it on our house or put it somewhere that we're going to see it all the time. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse. I got really hung up on this verse, and I've been kind of singing all week. We used to sing a chorus many years ago, and we sang it because it was many years ago. It was in the King James Version. Okay, so I had to go and photocopy Psalm 34 in the King James Version so we would understand it, because I'm a new King James Version guy now. I couldn't take King James Version anymore. Is that okay? I found every time I preached and every time I said, hitherto soever, so I'll go with, and never live, so blah, blah, blah. I got so tongue twisted around those hithers and thys and these and thous and everything else in there. So I said, God help me. And God did. He brought out the new King James Version just for me. Hallelujah. But anyway, we used to sing this song. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. That's the first four verses. Anybody heard that before? No? I sang a new song for you? It's scriptural. Amen. I love it. So if you got the first four verses there, let me sing it to you again, okay? Because you're not in a rush today, are you? Good, okay. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, I love Finis Jennings Dake. Anybody ever heard of that name? I know Pierre has. Finis Jennings Dake was a great Pentecostal man. Ooh, a Holy Ghost guy. I like Holy Ghost people, don't you? They just love getting in the Holy Ghost and swinging from chandeliers and rolling on the carpet and you know, getting down on the carpet and never coming up again, you know, and say, is it over yet? You know, kind of like, I like Holy Ghost people. But anyway, Finis Jennings Dake said that when he looked at Psalm 34, he looked at this psalm and he says, I want to give you 10 commands of Psalm 34. And I love this. I was looking at this week. Number one, magnify the Lord with me. Number two, let us exalt his name together. Number three, taste and see the Lord is good. Number four, fear the Lord. Come, listen to me, verse 11. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue peace. Isn't that beautiful? I looked at that and it's really good, the way he put it all together. And maybe these things that Dake points out to us are exactly what we need. It's what the doctor ordered, amen? Exactly what we need over the summer to invest in our spiritual care for this one life that we live. Amen? Nobody else is going to look after your life, even though Betty feeds me, and she feeds me pretty good. But I have to look after myself. Amen? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, she came out in the kitchen and said, I'm going to make some fudge. I like fudge. And so she said, I got this new recipe to make some fudge. And so she makes up this great big huge thing of fudge and she takes a couple of bites of it and says, oh, it's bad for me. I said, so what's that mean, Betty? So Betty brings me this whole big tray of fudge. So like she says, well, it'll be in the freezer every time you want it. And I said, Betty, every day I wake up, I hear that fudge calling. I said, you think I can leave it alone? I told Betty, I said, do not make fudge again, just, you know, thinking that it's for yourself and for the two of us. And you then you say, oh, I can't eat because of my health problems. You know, and then you leave it all to me. I've got to be the cleanup guy. I don't like doing that at times. You know, I've got to look after me. And if she keeps doing this, making fudge and all this stuff and leaving it around so I eat it, you know, I'm going to be fat, fat, fat. Amen. And I don't want to be fat. I want to keep this lean, trim. Anyway. But as you read David's life, you begin to see and realize that God came through for him over and over and over and over again. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you will know that when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, that God came through for you over and over and over and over again. Amen. He always does that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a wonderful God. And so no wonder he had a heart after God. He was a man who, even the scriptures say, he pursued God. The scripture says, I ran hard after him. Hard after God. Are you running hard after God? Because of God's faithfulness to David, he wrote the Psalms of God's goodness to him. And many Psalms I've found reveal to us that David is thankful for God's love, thankful for the forgiveness. He lifted me from that miry pit and put my feet upon a rock, says David. Grace and mercy and his power to deliver the righteous. All this is very evident right here in Psalm 34, where we see David giving praise for God's ability to deliver the righteous. Now, just in case you have a different translation of the Bible, I wanted to give you three translations here of Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For those who have the New International Version, it says, I will extol. I don't really understand extol. Do you? I don't stand here and say, I'll extol you, Lord. No, that's one of those big words that I'm more familiar with praise. But anyway, for you, for an NIV, you like the word extol, so you got that version. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And the New Living Translation says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Hallelujah. However you read it, however you want it, just get it. First two words I see, which are common with all of them, I will. How many times have we woke up in the morning and I won't? I will. This is something that you got to have a made-up mind over. It's not something you say, well, Betty, could you do it for me? Or somebody else in the church, could you do it for me? This is something you've got to do. I will. I will bless the Lord. It's a resolved, a determined, fixed, made up mind that I am going to praise the Lord. See, I love the way that God made us. He made us with a free will. So you can come to church today. You had the choice. You can open up your Bible and read the Word of God today. It's your choice. You can pray to our Lord and you can cry out to Him, or you can be quiet, never pray. It's your choice. It all depends on what you want. And thank God for the wonderful blessings that we have in God that He made us with a free will. You know, it's like being with others. I like going to people's houses because they always give you a choice. In fact, sometimes there's so many choices I can never understand. Like, would you like coffee? Would you like tea? Would you like iced tea? Would you like this? Would you like that? And you're sitting there. Boy, I wasn't even thirsty before. Now I'm thirsty. What will I have? Betty, what will I have? I don't know what I have. You know, and you kind of sit there trying to figure out what you're going to have when somebody starts offering you all these things. But yet, we all have this ability to say, this is what I want. This is what I prefer. I'll take, and then we say, I'll take this. Isn't it good when we come to God that it makes it so easy to choose? Because at the cross, Jesus Christ hung on that cross for you and I. And so we come to the cross. You've got the free will. You can either say, look, this is all a bunch of phoniness. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe what he did. That was 2,000 years ago. You can bring every argument into play. You can listen to every skeptic that you've ever listened to. You can listen to every doubt you've ever felt in your heart. Or you can come to the cross and say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for me. And he was raised from the dead, and I'm going to believe in salvation for me, and I'm going to walk in that faith. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will. It's up to us. I mean, as I look at the scriptures, this isn't rocket science. Did you know that? I mean, this isn't deep theology. It isn't rocket science for us to know that the more we get God's word into our spirit, the more we know God's will and what he desires for us. Isn't that true? The more you get God in you, the more God will be permeating your life and you will feel more of God in your circumstances. If you don't pray, you don't read the Word of God, you're going to have a tough week. You're going to have rough times going through in your life. But, I mean, the more you get God into you, the more you'll hear His will, the more you'll hear His heartbeat, the more you'll hear His direction, the more you'll hear His love, the more you'll hear His inspiration into your love, into your life, the more you'll just get more and more of God into your heart and soul and being. Isn't that great? Isn't that true? Have you tried that out? It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me, says the scripture. No longer me that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. How did that happen? I will. I will. That's how it happens. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Thank God that we're shown a way out of all the baggage of life that you and I get ourselves into and that drags us down in all of life's circumstances. Our Heavenly Father always gives us an out. Always gives us an out. He always, read verse 19 again, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. If you want an out when the world pressures you to conform to it, then go to the Word of God. Amen. How many know Romans chapter 12, verse 2? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's not our own will, but that's God's will. So when you get down to it, it all boils down to this. Anybody like boiling water? It all boils down to this. No matter what others do, sometimes we only do what we see. Monkey see, monkey do. Amen. When we're out walking our two dogs, you know, it's you want the two dogs to pee in one spot, just get one to pee in that one spot. And the other one comes up and sniffs it. I don't know what it is. They just do that. I look at Betty and say, monkey see, monkey do. Like the dogs just want to go in the same spot or something. And so often that's our human nature too, is that we just kind of, well, what everybody else is doing, I'll do, you know, because they're all doing it. But I want you to ensure, do what is right. Do what is the Word of God. Live by the Word of God in our lives. I will bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because I know who my praise is due for. What is due and for what and when should I do it? My first fruit. Anybody ever heard that term, first fruit? That's the best. That's the top choice. That's what comes off the crop at the first. That's what you give, like, you know, the first. Give them your first love. Don't wait till you're tired and going to bed. Betty, I hardly keep my eyes open. I guess I'll praise the Lord now, read the scriptures. No, give them your first. I always like reading the Word of God first thing in the morning. First thing, I'm fresh. I'm ready. I dig in. My mind isn't wandering. You know, I like all the times that our mind wanders and goes here, there, and everywhere. My mind isn't wandering, so I just get right into the Word of God, and I love it. We both read the Word of God in the morning, and it's a great time to get into the Word of God. How about you? I mean, after all, when you look at God and when you come to His Word, He created us. And if we are created to worship Him, let's not miss out on the reason why He made us. Amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. At all times, in every situation, going through everything that you and I go through, we need to praise Him at all times. And guess what? It's in my mouth. That means it's not just a heart thing. It's not just a superficial thing, or it's a head thing, or it's a thing that I do only when I come to church, or only when Christians are around me, or it's only because it's on a Sunday that I do this. But our mouth is filled with His praise 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, 366 on a leap year. We just keep praising Him. Amen. Don't stop. What was that Ron Canole sang that song? When you're going through hell, don't stop. If you catch hell, don't hold it. If you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Anybody know Ron Canole? Have heard his music? Really good stuff. I like him. He's good. So this mouth, James talks about it, doesn't he? This mouth. You got to keep it in line. It's bad at times. You know, I'm glad that Betty and I, we look at each other. Shouldn't be saying that. Those are discouraging words. You know, it's like home on the range. Discouraging words are seldom as heard. Discouraging words. You know, the mouth does so much, and how often do we regret what comes out of it? Let our lips, our mouth, our vocal cords, our voice box be in ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let everything come out. You know, I started going through some other psalms, and I just put in my concordance, mouth or lips or voice or anything like that. And I started going through some of the psalms because Psalms is a beautiful book. Isn't it beautiful? So, 150 beautiful, beautiful chapters that will encourage your heart. I went to the psalms and put in that word mouth, and I came up with this. Psalm 17, verse 3 says, "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Psalm 19, verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord." Isn't that good when somebody else hears us praising God? Something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Psalm 51, verse 15, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." Psalm 63, verse 5, "My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." Psalm 71, verse 8, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." Psalm 89, verse 1, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so then your youth is renewed like the eagles." Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Wow, that's a good verse, isn't it? Psalm 145, verse 21 says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." Praise God. Wow. I love the Bible. Love the scriptures. Everything that, it's like the supermarket, isn't it? Right? Betty always says, "Oh, we forgot to pick up this. Go to the supermarket." Why, is it there? Yeah, it's there. They've got everything. It's like they're coming to the supermarket. You forgot something, go there. Get it. It'll be there. It's there for you. It's there for you. It's the supermarket of God. Just go there. Come without price. Buy. It's all there for you. Just drink in. Take in. I like what Charles Spurgeon says. He said, "Our tongue is our glory, and it ought to reveal the glory of God." How's that? That was written by a guy a couple hundred years ago. He said, "Our tongue is our glory, and it ought to reveal the glory of God." It's like, you know, some of the songs that we sing, I'm a very music guy, you know that. But when I get to the songs and the hymns and all the things that we sing, it's like that old song that says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. 'Tis so sweet." Did you know what sweet means? On the tongue. Or, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day I love him a little more and more and more." What's wrong? Huh? I got the wrong words? Oh, thank you. That's a psalm? Oh, speak to me after, Betty. You're confusing the people. You know, if our mouths were so filled with the praises of our God, what else could ever come through from our lips? You know, I always like it when you get around people who don't believe in Jesus Christ and they start talking about raining every day, you know, it's always this and always that, and all the bad words, they all just discouraging, down, all those words, like they just keep talking. And then I would say, you know, but God's got something in store for us. You always bring God into every conversation. You ever been there where they say that kind of to you? You always seem to bring something from the bad and bring it to good, bring Jesus in there. You people, you know, how they always get it across. Like, well, isn't that what we're supposed to be? We're all supposed to bring Jesus in. I mean, do you think I want to listen to that all day long? Like, I'm going down from listening to you talk. I want to bring myself back up. God's got something good in store. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be sunny. Hallelujah. No, ain't going to rain no more. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. Never stop. Ongoing. Right? First Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For us. That's what Jesus wants us to live like. He knows what's going to be a blessing to us. He knows what's going to take us on in life. So here it is. David said it. Maybe all those roughnecks around him, all those soldiers. Can you see him stand up in front of all them all and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we're talking about this today, what do you think today? I mean, how has your tongue, your attitude, your mind, your heart, what have you faced last week and what have you gone through? How are you this morning? Because we are coming to the Lord's table in just a few moments. And as we come to the Lord's table, I'm always very cautious because, you know, God, if I've done anything to offend you, I bring it unto the name and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. As you've done so many times in my life, would you forgive me, Lord God, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness that may prevent me from coming to this table, because I do not want to eat of this bread and drink of this cup in an unworthy manner. I want to make sure I come to the Lord Jesus Christ and make sure that my heart, my lips, my mind, everything about me is in right order with him. Amen. So as you've heard this morning, and maybe I said, you know, maybe you're one of the 400 soldiers there in that cave, and all of a sudden David stands up and said to all these 400 ragtag misfits and vagabonds and runaways and everything else, and David stands up there. Can you hear this in this cave? I love caves. It's kind of like the shower. Do you sing in the shower? You know, boy, the reverb in there, like you could just turn it up, you know. Whoa, just adjust the volume there, yeah. Oh, this shower is cool. You know, you get in the shower. Can you imagine there, David's in this cave, and God's got his beautiful PA in this cave of all the echo and the reverb and everything else, and he stands up, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can you see those soldiers? Doesn't he know King Saul's after him? Doesn't he know that the king of Ashes just ran him out of town? Doesn't he know what we're going through? Doesn't David know what we faced in life? Doesn't David know what we did to get here to join him in this cave? Doesn't he know all the things that we've suffered and sacrificed to be right by his side at this very moment? Doesn't he know? And David stands up, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you think that that's what they needed? Do you think it's what we need in our lives? You know, would the worship team come, please? It's so good to praise the Lord. So good to praise the Lord. So good to bless him. I was reading about a Sunday school teacher. And the Sunday school teacher asked the class what they were very thankful for. One little boy says, I'm very thankful for my glasses. So the teacher, when he heard that, saying, I'm very thankful for my glasses, he says, why are you thankful for your glasses? And the little boy said, because they keep the other boys from fighting with me and the girls from kissing me. He had a reason. He had a reason. Thank God for my glasses. Are you thanking God for Jesus today? Are you thanking God for all he's done in your life? You've got to have a reason. It's not just, well, you know, my whole family comes to church, so I came today. You know, I thought, you know, it's a good thing to do is go to church. You know, well, it's a good thing to do is, you know, open the Bible and all this. You got to have reason. You got to have relationship. You got to know him. Your heart's got to pound. You've got to have a desire. You've got to have a yearning, a craving for the Word of God, the love of God. You've got to just have this, God, I can't do without you. Can't do without you. So, Father, we come to this table this morning. I can't do without you. Many of us here have known what it was like to live on the other side of the fence without Jesus. We knew what we were like in the world. We knew the things that we did. We knew what our speech was like. We knew what our thoughts were like. We knew what our life contained on the other side of that fence. But God, thank you, Lord, that we browsed over the fence one day and we saw the heart of God. We saw the heart of God, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whoever believes on Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. And God, thank you that you allowed us to jump the fence and to come over, because you yanked us over with those two nail-scarred hands. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us into the fold. You grafted us into the family. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, as we come to this table this morning, we count it a privilege and an honor to come and do this in remembrance of you, because of what you've done for us, purchasing our salvation on Calvary's cross, dying for our sins, loving us that much that you would lay down your life for us. We are blessed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So God, this morning, as these emblems are distributed, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that we would count it so worthy again to come and partake of these emblems. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I ask the board to come forward, and Betty, if you could help as well. I know we have visitors with us today, and we'll pass out the emblems. Just keep them with you until we partake of them together when I advise us to do so. But just be in the spirit of prayer right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn.
Jesus.
One Christ, my Savior, weary and worn.
Hallelujah.
Facing for sinners on the cross, that he might save.
Hallelujah.
No one but Jesus ever loved so.
For me, dying for us. It's our Savior. It's our Lord. It's our Master. It's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a wonderful Savior that we have in this relationship, all of us here. And no wonder Paul in that night said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. It says in James chapter 5, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And thank God for those blessings from the Word of God. We used to sing a song in our church many, many years ago that said, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here that is going through something, whether it's physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it could be. I believe in the power of prayer. Amen. I believe that God can break those chains. I believe that he can do amazing things, even beyond what we can imagine or dream that he could do in our lives. So if you have faith today, I really believe that God could do that for you this morning. So as we sing this chorus, if you would like to be prayed for, I'm going to call the board if they would come and help me pray at the altar here. But if you would like to stand when we sing this song and just come to this altar, we're going to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you that something is going to take place in your life. Amen? Are you ready?
In the name of Jesus, let faith arise in your soul.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We're praying for John today, Lord. We're praying for John. We're praying, God, that you would just touch him right now, Lord God. As Louise stands here for her husband, Lord, he's going through some real rough time, getting the medications right, getting everything right, Lord. Can't stay in church too long, but God, we're praying that there will be deliverance for him today, a break, in the name of Jesus. We're praying for a breaking of chains, Lord God, that we would see him thriving and flourishing in the things of God. So we agree with Louise right now that you would just touch John in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Good to have you here. Got my hands got oil on it. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for my brother's soul right now. God, we do all kinds of things in this life. Sometimes we mess up with our body, mess up with our spirit, mess up with all kinds of things. But I'm praying right now for a healing touch to flow into this shoulder, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, unmess it. Unmess it, Lord. Bring it back together, Lord, just the way you want it to be, Lord God. The way it's functioning, it's supposed to function. So we call it back into order right now through the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How's it feel? Do something you couldn't do before. Try it out. Just don't walk away the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We believe him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for our sister today, Lord. God, you touch her, bless her, and minister, Lord. And the need that she has today, Lord. God, yes, we are needy people, Lord. We bring to the altar, Lord. Just bring it to you, Lord, because we know that you're the only one that can take these from us. So, God, as we go through these things in this life, Lord, we look unto Jesus. We look to Jesus because we know that you can help us. You're the only one that can help us. So we thank you. Touch our sister right now, Lord. Help her to realize the hand of God is reaching down right now in her need, Lord, and taking that. And moving in that circumstance, in Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. Rise and be and be healed. and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. To all who are thirsty, all who are to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy.
Oh, Jesus.
Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrows be washed away. The waves of His mercy as deep.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed? So are you going from church the same way you came in? Or are you a little different? A little higher? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thank you, God. Take our lives right now as we just come to a conclusion in this service. Thank you for everything that's happened. Thank you for the worship team, Lord, the songs they played. Thank you for the congregation, Lord. Thank you for the prayers that have gone up. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blessings that we've sensed here in this place today. Thank you for the healings that have taken place and are coming, Lord God, in a stronger and more powerful way. Thank you for the testimonies that we are going to hear in the days ahead. Thank you for the good reports that are coming, Lord. Thank you for what you are doing. We give you all the credit, all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, for it is all due you, Lord God. Nothing that we can do. We just do what you've called us to do, Lord God. But in the supernatural, that's where you take over. And we're very grateful to allow you to do that, Lord. So thank you, Holy Spirit, what you've done here this morning. Bless us as we go. May we have a rejoicing week in you, Lord, and let that blessing of God be upon our mouth and our lips, and everything that we say and do will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a good week.